Okay, so today we are looking at Jeremiah, who is one of my favourite prophets, but I do say that about many of them. He has a particular place in my heart because many years ago, when I first joined community, I was discerning doing a Christian team. And I was young in those days to team, but actually quite ancient for nowadays, because I had already finished school and was at uni, and so it's like, I'm heard of now, but anyway. I felt like I was too young to do it, and I was reflecting on the words of Jeremiah, that when God calls him and he says, "But Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." And the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all that I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then he goes on, I can't find the exact bit, earlier, he says, "I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." And I was like, okay, well, that's good, because I'm not a prophet, so I don't have to do this, thanks God. And then I went to gathering, and Randy was giving a talk, and his whole point of his talk is how we're all called to be prophets. And I was like, okay. There's my excuse, so I did 10. Okay, I'm just going to start with a little video. Let's go. Judgment's not really what God is saying, and the struggle that Jeremiah has. And he gets to the point where he says he wants to kind of give up on speaking God's word. And this is what the video is based on. And I love about Jeremiah too, I always love in scriptures when people get real with God and, you know, tell him how you really feel. This is what Jeremiah is doing. And he says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. But you are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him, or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones." So he kind of says, you know, "I'm not going to do this anymore, Lord, because it's too hard. But the fire, this call of God to speak the truth is so strong within him, it's like burning within him. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot, for I hear many whispering. Terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my familiar friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him." So his friends turn against him and kind of want to watch his downfall so that they can kind of glory over his destruction. "But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior." He's like, God is his protector by his side. "Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tries the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, a son is born to you, making him very glad." So he's kind of so struggling with this, he wishes he was dead. Like, oh, this is so hard. I wish I wasn't even born, because this is just really difficult. "Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame?" And so I love the realness of Jeremiah, that he is faithful to the call that God puts on his life, yet at the same time he's really real about it before God and how difficult it is. And I think it's a great witness for us in the struggle of following God, to be real before God, to say, "Lord, I will be faithful, but I'm also going to have a big whinge about it to you. And this is really difficult," but to still have the faithfulness of Jeremiah in living it out. Okay. So when I was reflecting on the message of Jeremiah today and what I wanted to talk about, I couldn't help but think of this man. Let's switch lights. Israel Folau. So I thought everyone by now would know what's happened with Israel Folau, but I was talking to someone last night and they had no idea. So I'll give you a short summary. He is a rugby player, I'm told, unfortunately. He has gotten into trouble for posting on social media, and if I had time, I should have put this in the slide, but I was building IKEA furniture today, so I didn't. So this is one of his things he posts on Instagram. You can see kind of how it presents. And it says, "Warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters, hell awaits you. Repent, only Jesus saves." And it's one of a series of posts he's made that has gotten people upset, and he's lost his contract to play rugby over it. And I think in some way there are many parallels with Israel and Jeremiah in speaking the truth and being derided for it. Now, I was talking to Marty before gathering about using an example of Israel because it's a difficult example because I don't necessarily fully support his methods. But I'll come back to kind of some of the nuances around that. But I do just want to say, before we talk about Israel, in using him as an example, I'm not necessarily fully 100% on his side. It's true what he's done. I'm not fully against him either, but it's complicated. Another thing I think to be aware of in all of this is that Israel is actually a Mormon, and so his beliefs, his Christian beliefs, and I say Christian, probably you should say in quotes, because as Catholics we actually don't accept the Mormon religion as a form of Christianity. So there's that to be aware of as well. But also our beliefs around salvation are different too. Okay, so keep that in mind. I'm not necessarily 100% behind him. But I do think it's a very current example of having the courage to really speak the truth of our faith. So what is Jeremiah's message? What I want to really reflect on with Jeremiah is one of the overall messages of all the prophets. But they all have kind of three parts to their message. They preach a message of repentance. They're telling the people they've broken their covenant with God and need to repent. Then because they don't repent, judgment is coming, and it comes in various forms. But then after judgment comes restoration. And I think all aspects of this message are important, that we need to, when we're speaking the truth, when we're standing like Jeremiah and proclaiming the truth to the Lord who doesn't want to hear it, we actually want to make sure we're presenting the fullness of that truth. We need to repent, we will be judged, but we'll be restored. Like, all three are really important. So Jeremiah's message of repentance, he uses this word shuv. And it means turn. And so it can be used to mean that you've turned away from God or that you've turned back to God. There's a verse in Hebrew, I think it has seven words in it, and five of them are shuv. And so it's like this. doesn't really make sense if you translate it straight into English, but it makes sense in Hebrew. So this word he uses over 100 times. And his message really is to return, O faithless children, return back to God. But part of returning really is turn back to God, because it involves turning away from sin. That it's really a physical thing, that we need to turn away from the things we're doing wrong in our lives. So the sun has decided to hit us. We need to turn away from our sinful actions in order to turn back to God. And he says that if the nation turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intended to do from it. So we do have this opportunity to repent, and it's this call to repentance that Jeremiah repeats throughout his book. But eventually, judgment has to come. And part of what Jeremiah says is that in a way, we can't escape our judgment, but it says, as for you, do not... this is God's message to Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, as for you, do not pray for this people anymore, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. And his message really is that it's too late now for repentance, and judgment has to come. And I think this is really important for us to reflect on, both in our own personal lives, our own personal judgment, but also for the people that we are relating to in the world, this idea that judgment will come on all of us. And there is a time that it's too late for repentance and we have to face our judgment. He says, God says through Jeremiah, you have rejected me and you keep going backward. So I have stretched out my hand against you and destroyed you. I am weary of relenting. I have winnowed them with a winnowing fork in the gates of the land. I have bereaved them. I have destroyed my people, for they did not turn from their ways. And I think we find this message really challenging, this idea of God's judgment, and where he says, like, he's weary of relenting, because we have this idea of God as being all loving and always ready to forgive. But I think what we also need to bear in mind is that God is both mercy and justice, and that to be just, there must be time of judgment as part of that. And I think the reality is that no one likes judgment. Like, I don't like being judged. I don't like being judged by people. I don't like being judged by God. The people that we're related to in the world, they don't like the idea of judgment either. The people that saw Israel's post on social media, they don't want to be judged either. So it makes... let's get on to something wise now. So I think judgment is not something we like to think about. But what Jeremiah really talks about is that we should submit to our judgment because judgment is good for us. That the point of judgment is actually our restoration. And if we don't submit to our judgment, that restoration can't happen. He actually, in the book of Jeremiah, what is going on with the people is the judgment that's coming is actually going to be invaded by a foreign nation, invaded by Babylon and taken over. And his message, what he says to the people is actually, submit to your judgment. Submit to Babylon. And if you submit to your judgment, then you will be saved. You will survive your judgment. But if you refuse to submit to judgment, Babylon will come and destroy you. And I think for us to really think about that God invites us to submit to his judgment, to not be fearful of that, but to actually invite it into our lives, to invite God to come and to judge our lives in order to change us and restore us. When Jeremiah gives this message to the king, King Zedekiah, he says, go and surrender to Babylon and you'll be saved. He actually didn't get 3 in the world for being a traitor. I'm kind of on the king's side for that. I kind of feel like he was being pretty treacherous. He was the right thing to say, but anyway. He says to the king, surrender, and you will save the people. If you don't surrender, we'll get wiped out. And King Zedekiah says to him, I don't want to submit to the Babylonians because I'm basically, he's scared that they're going to torture him. Because in that situation. So he refuses. And I think for us, so Zedekiah is more fearful of the judgment that's coming from Babylon than his own sinful ways. And I think that is so true for us as well, that sometimes we're more fearful of God's judgment, we're more fearful of the hard work of changing our lives than we are of the consequences of our sin. And we're happy to sit in our sin because it seems comfortable, because we don't realise that is worse than facing God's judgment. How many times do we kind of know that we need to change our lives? And we know that what we're doing is not the best for us, but it seems easier. It seems like it's harder to submit. But really, I think the message of Jeremiah is that it's not, because the way of submitting to judgment leads to life, refusing leads to death. But I think the message of Jeremiah, and so part of the state of Israel and what I've been reflecting on is part of the way he presents his message makes me uncomfortable. And I'm a Christian who kind of believes in his message. Kind of think what he says is true, but at the same time it makes me uncomfortable. And it makes me uncomfortable because it does come across as very harsh and judgmental. And part of me thinks that it's not necessarily the most helpful way to to evangelize? Like, are people really going to read that message and go, okay, I'm going to surrender to the Lord? Like, I think it's more likely to put people's barriers up than to kind of really touch their heart. But at the same time, when you think about Jeremiah, he preached this message of repentance and judgment, and no one listened to him either. So I wouldn't say that Jeremiah necessarily went about it the wrong way either. Like, sometimes we preach, we speak the truth, and people don't want to hear it, and that's just the reality. It's not that we've done it the wrong way, it's just that we can speak the truth and no one wants to listen. But what I think in reflecting on Jeremiah's approach, and I talk about this threefold, we need to repent because our judgment is coming, but the purpose of that judgment is to be restored. And I think we always need to temper our message of judgment with the truth of God's love for us and that he will restore us. And we see this restoration in Jeremiah as well. It's probably one of the more famous parts of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 is the famous verse. It's nothing to remember. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. So he's going to make a new covenant, not like the one of old that everyone broke. But this new covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So this new covenant that God's calling us into, the new covenant that's brought about with Christ, is this great covenant of love and knowledge of the Lord, that we would know the Lord within us. So it's not that we only come to know the Lord through other people's words, through the words of the prophets, through the words of Scripture, but we will know God intimately within us. And so there's kind of this heart response to the Lord with this new covenant. And I think that's ultimately what we're about, is we do need to submit to our judgment, but in order for God to change us from within, to plant that covenant within us so that we will really know the Lord and know him in a really intimate and deep way. I might actually leave there. I had some other stuff, but I kind of skipped it in the flow of what I was saying. So I'll wrap it up early. Actually, one other thing I wanted to say about Jeremiah that I think is important when you read it, it's not in chronological order. It does. The story jumps around. So if you get confused, probably why. It seems like, oh, they're being restored. Oh, they're being judged. Oh, they're repenting, but they're already judged. No, they're not. It's just not in order. Okay. Thank you.